Well, Larry, Jackie, we did go to Waste Management for you guys, and they have given you 5 free tickets to come out and smell the trash anytime you'd like to. So y'all could have it, okay? I mean, it's unlimited. You can stay there all day long if that's what you want to do. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're going to talk today about the teachings of our Lord. And, you know, I think it would be very easy if you look at Scripture to be offended if you didn't understand the meaning behind what the Lord was attempting to do for all of us. You know, you look at Scripture and, you know, you got Old Testament, you have New Testament, but the Scripture is really different, but you have to understand the meaning behind why he did and does what he does. If not, then candidly, you could be offended. In Matthew 28, the Scripture says, "Go therefore and make disciples." So that's the commission, the command that God has given us. But it says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then the Scripture says, "Teaching them." Well, it's hard to teach all that's in the Scripture, but teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he promises and says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age." Now, again, this is a commission. This is the command that God has given to all mankind. Everyone that is in this room has been given this commission and this command to go, to make, to baptize, and to teach. So we have a big task that you and I have to do to extend the kingdom of God. Now, in Romans, the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Well, if the Lord was sitting down teaching this, the Lord would literally sit down and tell us, he said, "Here's what I want you to understand." He said, "I want mankind to understand that everybody here has fallen short of my expectations." You know, he says, I've set the standard. But the problem with mankind today is that man has lowered God's standards in an effort to reach his standards. And we're out of balance. Literally, what we need to do is rise to his standards, no matter where that standard might be. But he wants all of us to understand we have all fallen short, okay, of his glory. Now he comes in and he says, "Guys, I want you to understand, for the wages of sin, if you and I would be paid for what we've done in this life, through thought, through word, and through deeds, we would be paid a wage, but the wage would result in death." Don't think too much about that, because we kind of go through the first part and then we kind of brush over the last part, but what is so important is that the wages of sin is death, but God has given you and me a free gift through Christ Jesus, which provides to you and me eternal life. So the Lord wants us once again to see the condition of mankind. He wants you to see where you are. And honestly, he wants you to understand a gift that is available to you if you wish to receive the gift. So he says, for the wages of what you've done in this life would result to gift, but there is a free gift that I give you, and that is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that no one goes to the Father except through Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given us when he looks at you and I and he sees what we've done, you know, through thought, word, and deed. You know, you can hear what someone says. You can see their actions, but we don't know what each other thinks. And that's one of the things that God does know. what we think, and that's one of the things also that you and I need to be concerned about in our lives. Now, when you look at God, it says, for God so loved the world. Well, the so love is kind of one of these, so loved the world, not just kinda, but so loved the world. He loved us so much that he gave. And he gave the only thing that he had was his only begotten son. And it says that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we've joked about it. We've talked about it. There's not a person in this room would give their child for another person. But we have a God who looked down upon the condition of mankind. He said, we've all fallen short. Wages of sin is death. But he says, I've got a gift for you, and that gift is going to cost me my son. But I love you so much that I will give you my son so that you can have something that you can't receive on your own, and that is truly eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And you got to sit back today and go, how awesome is that gift that God has given us? Now, even though mankind has failed to meet God's expectations, he loves his creation. He created mankind to fellowship with mankind. And after all that mankind has done, he still wants to fellowship with you and me. Now, here's the thing that, you know, you hurt my feelings, I don't want to mess with you. I hurt your feelings, you don't want to mess with me. Okay? That's just kind of human nature and where we are. But no matter what we've done through thought, word, or deed, our God has looked down to go, I created you, and I want a fellowship with you. I don't care what you've done. Amen. I have a son who can do for you what you can't do on your own. Therefore, he made a provision for mankind to go, you know, if you pray to receive Christ, you will have eternal life. And if you have eternal life, you have access to me, and you and I can fellowship again. And how awesome is that? That no matter what we've done in this life, through Christ Jesus our Lord, we still, even though we mess up every day, we still have access to a holy, awesome, wonderful, magnificent, and miraculous God. Amen? Amen. Romans 5:8 said, but God demonstrated his own love toward us. See, sometimes people have to go, well, show me. Well, God demonstrated that love that yet while we were still sinners. You know, Christ died years ago. A lot of y'all are not very old. Some of us are older. But the key here is that he demonstrated his love toward you and me in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now think about that. 4,000 years ago when he was on the cross, he was dying for you. 4,000 years ago, past, present, and future, whatever you're going to do, he died for you. Past, present, and future, 4,000 years ago, because of Christ Jesus, we have justification, sanctification. We have everything that we need to go through the glory gates of our Lord Jesus Christ and walk into the presence of Almighty God. He demonstrated that love to you and me through Christ Jesus. And the world needs to know that. You know, one of the challenges today is suicide with our kids. And the reason that people commit suicide is not because they want to stop their lives. They want to stop the pain. And they just don't know how. But I'm telling you that you and I've got the answer to the condition of mankind, and his name is Jesus Christ, who gives us access to God. Now, the other is in Isaiah 53, it says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And then by his scourging, you and I have been healed. Now, I want you to go through that. First of all, he was pierced. Then he was crushed. Then he was chastened. And then he was beaten. If that doesn't show you and me that our God loves us, then nothing ever will. But look at what you get out of what he wants the world to see. He wants to see, number one, that because of your sins, he took care of those. Number two, the iniquities that you and I have done in our life, he wants you to understand that's been taken care of. He also wants you to understand that your well-being is all based upon him. He took care of that, and that you and I have been healed. He took care of that. What else does mankind need in his life to live a life that is successful to what Christ Jesus has given to you and me? But yet we come to church, we're lifeless sometimes, we're not very energetic sometimes, and you and I, and we've joked about it, but I'm telling you today, I saw a lady last night on one of the news programs said, you know, she said, what really bothers me about Christians today, we have more excitement going to the ball game than we do going to church. And the sad thing about it is you paid $180 to go to the game. You came into this church today and don't have to pay a dime. And I promise you, you're going to get more from what Christ could give you than what the stadium could give you. Amen? Amen. So here's what I want you to look at is that Christ accomplished for you and me what you and I could not accomplish on our own. The only way that we get to go to heaven is through perfection. Well, I know I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. You know, I mean, I can make someone mad in about 2 minutes, you know. But the challenge for all of us in the midst of this is that Christ accomplished for us what we could not do on our own. And Christ says, if you want to come to heaven, if you want to be on the other side of glory, then you have to meet perfection. And we've already heard from the very beginning that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And if perfection is needed for you and I to get to heaven, then you and I can close up shop today. Let's go fishing, go bowling, go play golf, whatever, because we're not getting there if it's based on you and me. Heaven is something that you cannot earn. Heaven is something I guarantee you that you and I do not deserve. So Christ accomplished what we could not accomplish on our own. Now, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by God's grace, you and I have been saved through what? Through faith. What is the definition of faith? Being sure of what you hope for? It's the conviction of things that you have not seen. You know, we all have never seen God. We have never seen Jesus. We have never seen the Holy Spirit. But I promise you that if you lived in the world like I did, then you know where you are. You know where you are today, but you know where you were, and you know how you got here, and it wasn't by your own doing, because if it was, you wouldn't have done all the crazy things you did years ago. So the thing is that we've been saved, it says, through the faith that we have in our Lord, and that not of ourselves. See, we can't save ourselves. If you go out and win the lotto today, which I, you know, someone asked the other day, do you play the lotto? And I went, no. Are you against the lotto? I don't think it's the right thing to do. But they said, if we won, would you take the money? Well, we could sit down and talk about it maybe. You know, I don't know. but in all honesty, the key, just don't tell me where it comes from, okay? Just give me the money. But the thing through this is, it says it's that it's not of yourself, it is a gift of God, okay? So you and I can't earn heaven, you and I don't deserve heaven. I don't care if you did win the lotto and you won $50 billion, you can't pay anybody to give you a ticket to get into heaven. The only ticket that you can get, and it is a free ticket, and it is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's kind of, you know, you got to look at the picture. You can go, you know, yesterday when we were up here working, Dustin had this question. He says, I wonder if the alarm goes off and I turn the key, will that shut the alarm off, the fire alarm? Well, I got to tell you, we met the 2nd Battalion of Firemen that came up yesterday, and we determined that, no, it does not work, okay? So, you know, the whole thing about this is that, you know, you can't pay for it. You don't earn it. It's a free gift. It's not about you. It's a gift of God. But, you know, you can say, where I was going with that is when we call the alarm company, they say, what's the code? Well, Dustin goes, I don't know the code. Dad, what's the code? I went, I don't know what the code is. Well, the guy says, you're the one that set the code up. I said, I don't know what the code is, okay? You know, and we've called all these numbers, and by now you can hear, woo, they're like, you know, it don't make no difference what the code is now, you know. But the thing about it is, for us to get into the other side of glory, and we all know the name, we can walk to the gate and go, Jesus. And the gate's open, and you and I have the right to come on in. And the great thing about this is that God created the grace through faith so that you and I would not be prideful to the fact that we had anything to do with it. It's not about our works, and it said so no one could boast. You have to understand that you're not good enough to get there. But here's the other piece. You're not bad enough to prevent you from getting there. It's all about Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, God wanted mankind to know that they were saved by His grace. The world will tell us that we're not worth anything. The world will tell you that all of the sins that you've done in your life that you have to carry from now on. And what God wants the world to know through our teachings is that we were saved through His grace, through Christ Jesus, not of the works that you and I have done. I don't care how great you are, not going to get you there. I don't care how bad you've been, won't prevent you from being there, but it is through God's grace, through God's love, and His mercy that you and I cannot boast. All we can say is, I do not understand, but I know that I love the Lord. When I finish my prayers in my journal, I always write down, Lord, I come to you today on the merits of your Son. And I come today asking in His name, Jesus Christ, amen. And that's how I close my prayers. Now, God gave us 10 commandments, okay? Old Testament. That we were going to have no gods before us, no idols before us, that we would never use the Lord's name in vain, and that you have to remember the Sabbath. Well, people go, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. And you are 100% correct. But He's not talking about, you know, coming to church. He said, remember the Sabbath, which is Sunday. Keep it holy. That means there's a need. It says, don't forsake the fellowship. There's a need for us to be in church on Sunday because God has got a task for all of us. Now, I want you to understand that the first four commandments are about God, okay? So no other gods, no idol, don't abuse His name, and remember the Sabbath day. All those are about God. The rest of them are all about us. It said, honor thy father and thy mother, okay? You should not kill. You should not commit adultery. You don't steal. You know, you don't bear false witness and you don't covet. All those deal with us, okay? So God wanted us to know, here's 10 commandments that you need to follow. Well, we didn't do very good, okay? So God knows man's problems. He knows our challenges. So this is what He did. He said, well, maybe if they can't get 10 of them, maybe they can understand 2 of them. Okay? So in Matthew, he says, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. Okay? Now, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you would have no other gods before you. You would make nothing your idol. You would always keep the Sabbath day holy. And you would not use the Lord's name in vain, okay? If you love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Now, In Matthew 23, it says, this is the greatest and the foremost commandment. The second is, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. No! I don't like my neighbor. I don't want to love him. I don't want to do it. But you will see there's nothing in parentheses where God goes, well, do it if you want to. Because I got to tell you, sometimes people are not, it's a newsflash, because I know that y'all know this, but sometimes people are not lovable. Sometimes they're not even likable, okay? But our God sat down and said, love me, and then love everybody else as yourself. Well, I got to tell you, man, we love ourselves. You know, I mean, we get up in the morning and go, I love you, Keith. I love you too. Well, we do. We love ourselves, but the Bible says love others just the way you love yourself. And I got to tell you that sometimes that's not easy to do. Okay? But he didn't ask if it was easy to do. You know, when you look at politics today, there is such a division. You know, we're supposed to have partisanship. There is nothing partisan about, you know, the political system today. They're trying to divide. And what you and I need to do as Christians is to go, we're not looking at politics, we're looking at biblical principles.
That's right.
And we're going to put this back together again, and we're going to love everybody no matter. Now, in Matthew 9:13, it says, but go and learn what this means. Can you tell that this passage is a process? Go and learn. It's not something that says, okay, go. No, it says, go and learn what it means. He says, I desire compassion and not sacrifices. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You know, one of the problems with the church today, I'll never forget this man telling me, he said, I tried to get my son to come into church 4 years, and they had gone to a Baptist church, and the songs were being played, the son was getting into it, and, you know, he started really getting into music, and the guy back behind him slapped the boy on top of the head and said, we don't do that in this church. Now, I got to tell you one thing. There would have been spirit in that church after that man slapped my boy in the head. Okay? We would be dancing in the aisles. Okay? Because we don't be doing that. Okay? The key with all of this is that God doesn't look for our righteousness. Our righteousness comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. What God is looking for is compassion. And we were all dead in sin. And what God wants is for us to have the same kind of compassion to go into the world and bring those people to this church. I'll never forget when we had some people that were living in an alternative lifestyle. They said, are you going to allow them in church? And I said, yes. Why shouldn't we? If someone that was from Islam and was Islamic in their faith, would we allow them in this church to hear the word of God? You bet we would. See, this church is for the sick. And we were all sick at one point in time. And candidly, we all get sick on occasions. So the church is not for the pious, righteous people, but it is to bring the sinners, the adulterers, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, all the people that we don't want to associate with, God says, bring them in here and sit next to them and show them compassion.
Amen.
Because I promise if you and I walk around with this pious attitude, they do not want what we've got. But if they look at us to go, we're no different, and you're no different than I am, and I'm really no different than you are, then it's okay. I remember the days of being an old drunk, and I remember walking into the church, and I remember all the pious attitudes that were there. But no matter what, I had a God that loved me. and a God that allowed me to stay, and a God that still loves me today no matter what I used to do. People will say you used to, or you're an alcoholic, and I want to know, I used to be an alcoholic, but today I am a man who's been saved by God's grace, and I am a child of the Most High God. Now, here's where things get offensive, and you go, I don't understand this. Now, our Lord knows it's important for us to have a relationship with Him. He knows the struggles and the challenges that you and I face every day in our life. But He said, but whoever denies me before men, I'm going to deny him before the Father who is in heaven. And look at what He says. Do not think that I came to bring peace on this earth. I did not come to bring peace, but I came to brought a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. And what our Lord wants to know is, I'm not playing games. Our Lord wants to look at you and me to go, are you a real deal? Because you see, if somebody can push us into believing, someone can push us right back out. And the key through us through this whole process is that the Lord's going, if you're going to go my way, your family might get upset at you. And when Pam and I went into the ministry, my family got upset at us. I had a ton in my family were going, y'all think y'all are better than us. Mm-hmm. We're like, I'm not better than anybody. I just don't want to live in the chaos that you're living in. I'm tired of living that way. So it's hard in the midst of this because your friends will look at you to go, y'all are different. Y'all don't want to go drinking no more. You don't want to get high anymore. You don't want to go woman around. No, I don't want to do that anymore. See, the Lord is serious because He's called the church to go and make and baptize and make disciples, and not all will agree, but the calling still stands. The day that you were in there and made a public profession of faith, when either Arnold or whoever it might have been said, have you ever come to that place in your life where you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, and you said yes, your life just changed. And God's not playing games. He said, either be hot, be cold. Either make this a real deal or don't do it at all. Show the world that you're for me, because if you don't, you're showing the world that you're against me. And if you're kind of lukewarm, I want to vomit you out of my mouth because I don't want to play with you. And that's the problem with the Christian life today. Now look at what Jesus said also. He got upset. He called a group of guys. He said, you are serpents. You are a bunch of brood of vipers. And how will you escape the sentence of hell? And you know, churches today don't want to talk about hell. Hell is a real deal. There is heaven and there is hell. And when it's all said and done, you will either be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. That's where it is, and you can accept or deny. Jesus entered the temple. And you know, you look at Jesus, He offended people all the time, but He never got mad. It says, angry and sin not. That's the only passage, Mike, I got no clue what that means, okay? Angry, I want to sin. I want to beat them down. You know, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. But the key here is Jesus got upset. So He goes into the temple and He drove out all the people who were selling in the temple. He overturned the tables of money and the seats. All of the people who were using the temple wrong. And that still applies to you and me today. The temple is wherever you worship God. And you and I have got to start taking God serious. When you go over there in 2 weeks and see what God has done for us, you will be absolutely 100% amazed at what God has done for the life of this church. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Now again, he says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess before the Father. Whoever denies me before men, I'm going to deny. God, again, is not playing around in the midst of this. Jesus said, if you confess it, Jesus, I mean that I'm your Lord, I'll confess you before Daddy. Amen. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. And then it ends, do not think that I came to bring peace on this earth. Well, that doesn't sound like the Lord that I worship. No. He's not playing games. And he wants us to understand that there's a way to do things. And if we followed his way and his teachings, it's a different kind of life. The other thing it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, we said last week that that passage, the visual, is that if you were condemned to death, you would have to pick up your cross, you put it on your shoulder, and you would walk, and in doing so, you were saying that the Roman law was correct and that you were being sentenced to death because you were wrong. Today, that passage for you and me is that we literally sign a certificate when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We literally sign that certificate to say we will put our flesh to death. And we are going to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And to put flesh to death, you have to deny yourself. Because if you don't, flesh will rise its ugly head. And then again, God comes number two in our life. So when you see that, that's important. John 3:3, Jesus answered, said to him, truly, truly, I say to you. Talking to Nicodemus, he talks to you and I. You know, so many people will go, I pray and pray and pray, but I never get my prayers answered. He says, truly I say to you, unless one is born again. The key here is born again. Have you been born again? Have you confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? Well, I've been in church my whole life. I don't care. I believe in God. I don't care. Satan believed in God. The key here is, have you been born again? Because if you haven't, you will never see the kingdom of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave them the right. It's a privilege to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And how awesome is it that you were a child of the devil, but when you were born again, you became a child of the Most High God. No longer do we have to crawl on the ground. Now we can rise above the circumstances and the challenges of this life because we are spiritual individuals. He also wants the world to understand, you got a task to do. You got a great commission. How do I do it? He says, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents. I've given you the authority to tread on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he said, nothing will injure you. See, the Lord knew what would be required. The Lord knew how the task, how difficult this was going to be, but he's given us authority. He's given us authority over the power of the enemy. Now, hear what I just said. He gave you authority over Satan's power. You cannot hit Satan head on, okay? But you have the authority over the power that Satan wants to bring. In Acts 1, he said, it is not for you to know the times, it says epochs, but it's like a season which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you for one reason, so that you could go be the witness. What does he ask us to do? Go make disciples, okay? You and I are to go into the world to be a witness to the world, but he says to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now you have two things. First of all, he's given you authority over the evil one, but he's also given you the power through the Holy Spirit. That changes the whole ballgame. Not only do I have God's authority to go out and do the things he's called me to do, but I got the power of the Holy Ghost behind me. And when you put those two together, there ain't a mountain that can stand in your way. You can move it down to the glory of God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. See, the world has to know that there is hope, and it's called faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. It's the conviction of, even though you haven't seen it, there's a conviction in your heart that it's real. And then Matthew goes in chapter 9, when we talk about faith, Jesus turned and seeing her said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well. All throughout Scripture, people who had faith, the woman that with the issue of blood had bled for 11 years. We talked about it last week. A woman who had the issue of blood was classified unclean, had to stay away, could not get into the public eye. Here was a woman who sat down and went, I know that if I could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, if I could just get close to him, I know that I could be healed. And she got to the place that she didn't care anything about what anybody thought. She fought through the crowd. She touched the men. She touched the people. She got to the place where she saw Jesus. She humbled herself and got on the ground. She touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus goes, whoo, wait a minute, something happened. And that woman was healed from that day forward. And what did Jesus say? Your faith made you well. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. So see, church, you and I have got to do the same thing. It doesn't make any difference. As soon as we get into that other building and there's 500 people in that building, you need to get to the place to go, I got to get to the altar and touch the hem of his garment. I got to get on my knees and bow before my God. I got to raise my hands and worship. I might want to dance just like David danced. I don't care what people think. I want to worship God. And God will go, man, your faith has changed your life. Amen. Amen. Now in Matthew 9, it says, when he entered the house, the blind man came to him. And he said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. My question to all of us today is, do you believe? Because see, the world needs something to believe in. You know, and don't take this wrong. You can't believe in Nancy Pelosi. You can't believe in Donald Trump. You can't believe in Schumer. You can't believe in any politician that is out there. You can't believe in Medicare. You can't believe in Medicaid. You can't believe in any governmental subsidy. You can't believe. There is one person that we need to believe in, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it says, do you believe? They said, yes. Then he touched their eyes, and the Lord said, it shall be done to you according to your faith. Amen. Not my faith, your faith. Amen. Your faith. What is faith? Being sure of what you hope for. It's a conviction of what you hadn't seen. Matthew 5, he said, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, I got a problem with this passage. Turn the other cheek. Yeah, go ahead on. Hit me again. And it says, if anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt. Let him have your coat also. I got a problem with that one too. And whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. I want to quit halfway through. But you see, these are passages that become offensive to us, but our Lord is trying to tell us you have to love them more than you have to love yourself. Amen. And that's a challenge for us, and that's a challenge that we have to work through. And then in Matthew 18, Peter came and he said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him. Up to seven times? I'd have gone for three, you know. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And what the passage says is that you have to keep on forgiving. I don't want to forgive. You do me wrong, I'm done. But the Lord said, 70 times seven. And see, that shows the world that we have a forgiving God. How many times has God forgiven us? I guarantee you more than 70 times seven. And then in Matthew, it says, give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I'm okay with that. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a total different process that God wants for a church. You know, I think about all the politicians that are just trying to mess each other over. Could you imagine if they could all get together and follow that? To go, I don't agree with you, but let's pray. I don't agree with you, but let's come over here and sit down and try to work it out. What this world could be if we followed it the way God wanted it to be. And then in Matthew 25, and this is hard for churches today, he said, I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. You look at Jesus when he went up to those that had leprosy. He loved them. He reached out to them. You look at the people that had all kinds of issues. He reached out to them with compassion. And church, we have to be a church that is full of compassion, understanding that whatever works that Jesus did, not only can we do those works, but even greater works can we do. And the key is, are you willing to do it? And then in Matthew 28:6, here's what the world has to hear. He's not here, for he's risen.
Amen.
Just as he said. And you and I need to be willing to take the time to bring people into the Word and show them the place where he was lying. Tell them the story, how God went to the cross for them. Show them the scripture where he was nailed to the cross and put in the tomb. Show them the word of God that says he rose on the third day, and share with them the greatest news that he now sits on the right hand of God the Father in heaven for you and for me.
Amen.
And the world has to know that we worship a God that died, but we worship a God today that was raised with resurrection power. And the same power that raised him from the dead is the same power that's in you and me. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.